Hi, and welcome to Artists Alive. I'm Gustav 17 Elvström, and this is a show where I interview notable people in entertainment so that you can get inspired to do your thing. And with me, I have Girl Group. Would you say hi?
Hello!
We're over at Universal, their Stockholm office. They invited me last Friday. They sent me an email last Friday and were like, could you come to our office and interview a cool group?
Because
I work with them a little bit a few times a year with this podcast, and they always, you know, recommend me the coolest people.
That's lovely.
Yeah, this episode is going to be a roughly half an hour, and I was thinking my listeners could get to know you a bit. So let's start from my left to right.
Yeah,
we could do that.
I'm Thea. And I'm also from Norway.
Hi, my name is Katya.
And I'm Mia.
I'm Maria.
I'm Lil.
And we are
Girl Group.
Said with loads of irony.
Yeah.
Four of us are Norwegian. So Thea, Katya, me, Mia, and Maria are Norwegian. And then Lil here is from Yorkshire. Hence why we're speaking in English.
Yes.
Yeah.
And also because I need more international episodes.
Yeah.
Works out.
Yeah.
Why the name Girl Group?
It was a long... We had a long list
with
of...
Interesting names.
Really dumb names.
Pop-Tarts.
And we said... When we said Girl Group, we knew it was the right one because we obviously knew... We're obviously all girls. We wanted it to be a feminist project, and we felt that it kind of subverted the classic, like, kind of when people hear girl group, it's often dismissed because, you know, it has a lot of like connotations of like being manufactured and being, you know, this like big industry thing. But obviously we were quite doing it quite like DIY and stuff, and that was a big part of what we do, so it felt right.
Because we started as, we never decided to make Girl Group as like a band and a project. It just came from wanting to create a group of women that work together, and it was not just going to be about us, it was going to be about other women as well. So it just really, on so many levels, made
work.
A lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because I think we only creatively work with women, so it's like we're like a big girl group with mixers and photographers and everyone who gets involved.
And also showing that that's a good thing, because often like in society masculine things are seen as the right way to do it, and the fact that girls are doing it, it's like girly stuff is often seen as stupid or silly, and we kind of wanted to bring some power to that.
That's really wonderful. And it's definitely needed in our society, especially in the music business that is so heavily male dominated. But going on to like how the group came to be, I got to know from my personal contact, Frida, that you studied in Liverpool.
Yeah.
That's how you met.
Yeah.
Could you tell me a little bit about it? When was this and what were you studying and the idea of... performing girl group?
Like, all of us studied songwriting and performance at LIPA, and so the four Norwegians of us, we were in the same year, and Lil was doing foundation year. We became friends in Freshers Week, and then like 6 months later, I think during like March times, we were like, oh, let's do this thing and like ruin the boys club at the school, because they were all just always ruined the boys club. And I think
it's so funny because you can tell that we've told this story a couple times, so a lot of the things just kind of melt into one.
there was quite a culture amongst the boys of like going to the studio and hanging out and like working together and collaborating, and there wasn't that amongst the women, really.
I think we were invited to this
Sometimes.
I was never invited.
But like, we were kind of only invited to like sit there and observe and listen and like, oh, listen to this cool thing that I made. And you would just sit there like, cool. Okay, are we doing this together or am I just sitting here to like listen?
I thought we were going in there to make music together. And I remember going in being like, oh, you guys have already been here for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then being shown what they'd worked on. And then as soon as I was like, oh yeah, that's cool, And I think I said, like, one idea, and they were like, oh, yeah, that's kind of cool, like, maybe. And then that was it.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
it. That was literally the entire thing, and I was just sat there in the back, like, twiddling thumbs.
So I think, like, we came to a music uni that, like, for me has been my dream for so long, and I worked really hard to get in there. And then you get in there, and you have such an expectation of it being, like, incredibly and it was a really, really good university, and it's like, and also like the people that we talk about are incredibly good people, are like all of them feminists, and like they, it's just that all of this is subconscious, you don't think about it, and like even women themselves, like myself, I thought I didn't belong in the studio, and in the same way the boys kind of, it's just we're not used to seeing women in the studio. So, and we were all like friends for such a long time, and we are all such like feminists, and we kept like ranting about the same thing but not really thinking to do anything before, like, I think Maria said, like, we should just do it ourselves, and that's when we like kind of gathered. But like Katya said, it wasn't supposed to be like a band, it was just like we should also have studio sessions. And it was so crazy because it made me nervous, and I've grown up really like confident and like really like feminist, but it made me nervous being in the studio without a man, which is ridiculous, like it shouldn't, I had just the same right to be there. But no, it was, I think we just started the first session we made, Life is Dumb, which is our first single, and then we're like, oh, we gotta continue.
It was also meant to be like, we were just kind of meeting up to show our own songs, because we're also five solo artists, and so we were kind of like helping each other out with writing or production bits, but it just ended up being like a session to make a new song together, and so that's how it all came about. Taking action into our own hands.
I think even when we talked about it the first time in like the student kitchen, we talked about like how everything in music, because it's quite male dominated still, everything, like every song is, you don't see a song that hasn't been touched by a man, but there's so much that hasn't been touched by a woman. So I think we already then were like, what if we only worked with women? What if we like made that our thing, where we just, we like, and that was a bit difficult in the beginning as like new people who didn't really know that many people, to find like a good woman who was mastering. And like you go into website and you like websites for mastering engineers, and you scroll for ages until you find one woman, but then that woman was really, really good. But it's just like, it was like quite a, like for us it was really, really important to try and find the women who feel,
it makes it, well, it makes it kind of clear why a lot of music isn't touched by a lot of women, because if you're not going into it intentionally being like, I'm gonna work with women, you're gonna work with men, because the first 10 people you get recommended, or the first 10 people that you are made available for you to work with, are men,
and they're usually great as well, like it's
just the principle,
just like it's the principle of it.
So as I was on my way here, a couple of hours before I was on my way here, I was checking Apple Podcasts. And for context, I not only interview artists and stuff for this podcast, I also interview actors and people in the film industry. And I was just checking Apple Podcasts, and I see that Artists Alive is on place 133, the 150 most listened podcast in Sweden. Chart, and that's really cool.
Oh my god, that's great.
Thank
you. Oh, well done. That's really big. That's hard work.
That's so exciting.
Thank you.
I mean, it's very superficial and stuff.
No.
It's superficial. It's your career.
Of course, you need to care about that. And that's
just,
literally.
It's always nice when you've been making something to see that other people like it, that it's doing something that, and people are like engaging with it and stuff. It shows that you're doing something that's needed.
And podcasts are so important. Like every time I'm going through shit, I listen to podcasts.
We're big podcast fans.
So you're doing God's work.
Before we get into the EP that I've been able to listen to, Universe is like a little press copy of it.
That's lovely.
I got to listen to it last Friday, I was taking a little walk. I work at part time at a theater, so I had a little break, and I was walking around the block and stuff, and just listening to it in the sundown, and just. Yay Saturday is my favorite. I love them all in different ways. So we're going to be talking about it a little bit from your perspectives and stuff, what they all mean to you. But first, you had a gig at Bar Brooklyn here in Stockholm.
Yes.
It was their closing event. And I'm so happy Universal invited me to it because it was so much fun seeing all the bands and artists and stuff like that. Well, you were the only band, but the other artists, you as well. But what was that like for you all?
Oh my god.
I think
it was
crazy.
So fun.
Having the opportunity to go outside of the UK and do a show in a different country and actually seeing like a room full of people interested in listening to your music.
It's crazy.
It is so
crazy.
Insane.
Yeah, I think I was saying when we came off stage just like how, because we were quite tired because we've been playing a few shows like back to back now. But we were coming off being like, I felt so like exhausted but so excited because a few months ago, filling a room in Liverpool where we're based would have been such a crazy achievement, and just like having a room full of people watching you and being interested in seeing you play. And then going to Sweden, Stockholm, somewhere so far away, and having that and seeing that there are people here, like it's just such a, those kind of things are such like massive milestones.
Yeah, and it feels extra special because it's Scandinavia as well. It feels like home territory, and it's like it feels so special coming back. I think this is our first gig in Scandinavia, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Don't tell the Norwegians.
It's our second gig outside the UK. So the last two nights have been our first two ever shows.
Yeah,
and the Bar Brooklyn as well felt really, really special.
It
was
it's a really cool venue,
and everyone was really lovely. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, it was great.
I found it quite terrifying, to be honest, because I think when we've been playing in Liverpool in different bands and like our solo projects and stuff for the past 4 years, when you're outside of where you grew up, I feel quite like anonymous.
Yeah.
And especially in performance, I feel very able to just be like free, and I don't really care that much how I'm perceived because I feel like I can kind of choose who I want to be because no one knows me. And it's like and then coming back to Scandinavia, even though it's not Norway where I'm from, it's still like I really felt like
it's really familiar.
Yeah, it kind of, and it kind of feels like you're performing to your like distant relatives.
Yeah.
Like it just
you've said about like the culture,
there is quite culture difference,
like
Janteloven and stuff.
Yeah.
Do you talk about that in Sweden as well?
The law of jante, it's a Danish concept. For context, I think it's a Danish concept.
You shouldn't think that you're better than anyone. You shouldn't think that you're anything.
Everyone's
stay humble.
Very like, if you are anything alike, like different from other people, it's that you're trying to stand out and trying to be more special than everyone else. Yeah, and I think it was like a Danish writer who like wrote about explaining the Norwegian culture, but it's very much, especially in Sweden and Norway, I think it's quite strong in like, because also we're very about like equal rights and everything, so I think it's kind of from a good thing of like, you're not supposed to be very too individualistic, but when you're an artist, you're supposed to constantly be like, look at me, look at me.
And I think we spent a lot of time when we first came to England unlearning a lot of that when we came to university and had to perform and like take up that space,
because
growing up that didn't feel like it was kind of you were meant to, and then coming back here and I like feel like I have to kind of unlearn it again.
I feel like I'm still constantly unlearning it. I feel like I think it can have its benefits while it can also be your worst enemy.
I think in performance it doesn't have any benefits, because going on stage and being like, I'm so sorry, it's just not
You should have seen us the first time when we came to Liverpool, and it was like this, in Freshers Week there was this open mic night at Lippa, the school we went to, and everyone that wasn't Norwegian went up there and was like singing a few songs, and like, follow me on all social media, my Instagram, this is my TikTok. And all the Norwegians went up on stage basically just being like, I'm so sorry for being here. I'm just gonna sing one song. It will take 2 minutes of your life.
Literally 3 minutes.
It's fine. Out of your way. I'm so sorry. Oh, the spotlight. Oh.
But it's so funny because I was baffled that the first years were performing on the open mic. I was like, we just got here. What do you mean? Sorry, who do you think you are?
But I think it was a really nice like realization for us that we need to, if we want to catch up with everyone else, we're gonna have to like just step out of our comfort zone immediately.
Mm. That place is like it's like a baptism of fire for that sort of thing, I think, as well, because it's fully High School Musical. Like,
so
there
awesome.
Is people harmonising in the hallway.
Yeah, even the teachers.
Any minute of the day, yeah, there's flash mobs when you're like, trying to have your lunch. Like,
it's really funny.
Yeah, fully.
Glee Club.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. As a device to the Scandinavian listeners here and to everyone else, like, just stop caring about the law of Jante. No one cares. And the thing is, in no Stockholm, we really don't care about it, but the rest of Sweden does. Mm. So do you know what the slogan for Stockholm is?
No.
It's so extremely, like, the opposite of Jante.
Is it?
The capital of Scandinavia.
Oh! Like, right, it's pushing it. Yeah.
It's kind of true though. Yeah. Yay. Sorry. No, but we have a love-hate relationship with Sweden.
Yeah.
Because obviously all of the history, all of that, you know.
Yes.
But I mean, I love Sweden. You guys have great chocolate. You've got
candy.
Great vibes. It's all good.
Godisfabriken. I've said it. I want to go to a candy store today and I want to do all the pick and mix. I want all the Bubs in the whole entire world. Bubs is my favorite candy.
Nice.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Yeah. So let's talk about the EP.
Yes.
I think they're looking Let's Perform. Mm. What's the general theme of this project?
Party.
Is that? I think it is. We made the project knowing it was going to be one big project, I think. I think we decided that pretty early on.
Mm.
And it's just like, I feel like it's been a really good place for us to start as girl group and as like a feminist project, because we've kind of just kind of taken a lot of like little feminist issues and ways that we experience misogyny and played around with them and made them fun and like sarcastic. And I think, like, we very much started out from having discussions about everything that we are now singing about and writing about and putting out, like, just between us as friends. Mm-hmm. And, like, obviously there's your fantasy, which is out already, which is about, like, sexualization of really young women and the feeling of being perceived all the time. But then there's Yay Saturday, which is about just, like, girlhood and going out and how you feel like you're being perceived while you're going out. And Flink Pike, which is obviously about all the like pressures of being a woman and what we put on.
Do you have the term Flink Pike in Sweden? Maybe
no. So can you enlighten me what that is?
It's actually I love the term Flink Pike.
Okay.
Because it's a Norwegian term, which is Flink Pike syndrome, which is basically good girl syndrome, which is to describe. And it's often, like, it can even be a mental illness sometimes, but a lot of women from, like, children age, like, from kindergarten, because you have the societal pressure of being a woman, you're supposed to be the head of student council and the popular cool girl that's at all the parties, but you're also supposed to, like, eat healthy, but also
get
be cool and chill
and,
like, be very pretty, but don't do too much. Like, all of the, like, contradicting things, and you're supposed to be best in everything, best in sports, best in school, best in like the best friend and like the best family member and blah blah blah. And in Norway we actually have a term to explain, because the pressure is inhumane and it actually affects women to an extent that it becomes a mental disorder. And
it's called the Flink Pike syndrome.
Yeah.
Which is like an actual definition, like a psychological definition.
And it's talked about loads in Norway, which I think when I moved to the UK, I tried to like have a word for it, but there was no word for it.
Mm.
And if you don't have a term for something, you can't fix the issue.
Yeah.
So it's so important. And that's like why with like kind of all the issues of oppression and like in with queer issues or racism and sexism and all that, you need to have terms to explain the injustice or something that's happening. And the English didn't, and the Swedes don't. It's so important to kind of point out what's happening. And I think Flink Pike is just all about that, like how you're supposed to like be thinner but also have bigger boobs but also be like the perfect, like kind of all of that,
the whole
pressures.
Package
and all of these contradictory expectations, they're also built because, you know, men have
the patriarchy.
You know, we need to break that.
Yeah, we need to break the patriarchy.
And as you just said, you know, if you can't really fix a problem if you don't have a term for it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I feel like this could really be like a conversation opener for this, you know? In another way, if we have a term for it.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, obviously, once it was pointed out by the girls, like, I see it all the time, kind of in all of us and every woman that I know, like, so it is definitely nice having a language for it.
I think also a lot of what we want to, because our friendship also was founded on, like, discussions about feminism and all of the small things in everyday life. I think, especially our first EP, like, this project, was such a way of trying to talk about it, but also in a fun way, and kind of, like, spoon-feed it in, because everyone is responsible to fix it. And obviously, men have maybe even a bigger responsibility because they have a bigger privilege, but it's, like, we all continue the society that keeps, like, being horrible for so many people.
Yeah.
And I think so what the most important thing is obviously pointing out the issues. And I think, like Katya said, the songs are kind of pointing out the issues in different ways, but also, like, showing how beautiful it is to be a woman in so many ways. Like, in Yay Saturday, how fun it is to go out with the girls, or in BFF, how beautiful female friendships are. So I think it's, like, a combination of the kind of pointing out of the issues and also showing the, like, joy of being a woman and not making it too, like, sad either.
Yeah. I feel like, to me, that's the overall thing that the EP is. What I feel like the title also kind of encapsulates to me is, like, this thing that's both, like, let's perform, and it's, like, it's fun and we're going out and we're, like, talking about feminism, but it's, like, lighthearted and we're there's a drum and bass beat and it's fun. And then also... but then it's also, like... This, and it's really, I think that it's really fun to be, have found a way for all of us as, like, people who are really interested in feminism to do it as our job, but in a really fun way.
We're so lucky.
We also, I think the majority of the CP was made during our uni experience, or whilst we were at uni. And so it's also the kind of uni version, kind of young teenager adulthood version of us, and then now we're stepping into the more serious, we're out of uni, we're actual adult people now.
Still very fun.
Yeah, it's really
life
fun.
Life is way less serious for me.
Not writing any dissertation.
Thank God.
I mean, it took, like, we've had, like, these tunes for a long
time. Yeah.
That's why it feels for us now like it, like a very specific.
Yeah.
Like, we've all left uni. I'm graduating in the next month. These all left last year. It does really feel associated with that time. So it's nice to be able to have it out and have other people listen to it as well as just us.
Kind of like a time capsule. You can look back at it and stuff. Yeah. That's what I do with this podcast. I can just go on a walk and just listen to an old episode that I did with a friend, or that I did with a majority of people that I interview I haven't met before, which has been really cool.
That's really cool,
because I used to have, like, really bad social anxiety when I was in my teenage. Now I'm 24, but this podcast has been a great kind of, like, CBT.
That's
getting
a crazy
to know
thing
people.
To choose to do when you have social anxiety.
But it was fun, you know, when I get to meet a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's kind of what my podcast encapsulates to me, you know. And
I can imagine it, because you're hearing an older version of yourself talking and, like, having that interaction. And especially, like you say, if you've gone on to be friends with these people, I always find it so interesting looking back at, like, when you first met someone who's become a friend. Because you're such, obviously, like, a different version of yourself when you first meet.
And then I have it recorded the first
time. Yeah, genius.
I wish I had that.
Literally.
But seeing you perform last night, I got really excited about the thing that I'm gonna do on Friday, and I'm really nervous about it. But I've been getting into stand-up comedy. Because some friends of my mom's are stand-up comedians, and some friends of mine are stand-up comedians, and I'm like, well, I want to do that someday.
Yeah.
And
cool.
My mom was like, yeah, do it. And I was like, I don't know, I just said it, you know, I don't have to. And she was like, no, do it.
That's so cool.
Great mom, love that.
Yes. Yeah. Shout out out to Margrethe. But yeah, so she recommended me to go like a workshop for a day, a quick little workshop, and then I got to do my first performance at the end of the night for an outsold little comedy club.
And
it wasn't because of me.
Yeah.
I got to be the opening act for a Swedish comedian named Magnus Betnér.
Oh.
And for the people who don't know, basically it's like the Beyonce of Swedish stand-up.
Basically.
Oh, wow. It was that kind of, okay, not really, but it was that kind of.
No, it's Beyonce, basically. You supported Beyonce.
So you supported Beyonce. So
and then I did my second gig in Handen outside of Stockholm a couple of weeks ago. Kind of like, it was okay, it went okay. I got some people to laugh at least.
That's good.
So that's great. There were a couple of drunk 50-year-olds trying to distract me. I didn't let them. Yeah.
They always do. You should have seen our first gigs.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Yeah, no.
It's supposed to, you're supposed to go through some gigs where it's like, where there's people who are drunk, who are talking and like stuff as shit. Like, I feel like that's...
It
that's a
you
sign you're in the right way.
Yeah.
Also, doing stand-up is so brave.
To somehow ending up in a situation where I have to do stand-up is my worst nightmare. Truly.
I think about it a lot.
But I got some extreme amazing help.
I've got some bad news.
Open the gate.
Yeah.
There's a car on the other side of that wall waiting.
But there was a comedian called Amy Hallberg Pauli, and she's just amazing, and she helped me write my routine and stuff. So without her, I wouldn't be able to actually be funny. So
you gotta have it in you.
But she got me some really brutal, honest feedback, and I really love that.
Yeah,
so
that's great.
You need
destructive criticism.
Yeah. If you don't have directness, you are not going to be good. Kind of.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's hard.
It is.
It's like okay.
But I was just happy to do it. You know.
That's
it's really good.
I'm so happy for you. That's really nice.
That's so.
We need
so brave
more
as well.
We need more comedians in this world.
Thank you.
We do in this dark world. It's good to have that form of art to also make it.
Light.
Yeah, and I feel like maybe the last time it wasn't really the crowd for me, because I am really drawn into my humor, is really drawn into like my me being awkward in my personal life.
Yeah.
And that relates somehow always to pop culture. And I feel like maybe that wasn't the right audience for me. My audience is the girls and gays. So
it's the best.
They're very easy to entertain because I'm a part of that. And
yeah, you
know,
no,
then I know what they like and what they think is funny.
Yeah.
So
honestly,
that's easier.
Girls, gays and theys are just
absolutely
the best.
I have like one last question stuff, but before that I was just wondering, have we got anything else to say about the EP, maybe a favourite song of yours and what it means to you?
Whoa. I reckon they're probably all different, aren't they?
But I mean Shut Your Mouth, that's kind of like the like single of the EP that's released now soon. It's just such a fun song. When we were playing it yesterday, it's really like a club song. Very, very funny. I think that's my current favorite. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love you, Saturday. Yeah. I think I love it because it. I think for me, it's a really good blend of alternative and pop, and it has a lot of elements that like I really like with it being like really catchy and stuff. So yeah.
I'm a Libra, so I'm indecisive, but I think I love them all for very different reasons, but I think Yay Saturday definitely has a special place. And Shut Your Mouth is just such a banger, sorry. toot our own horn.
No, go on. Not that there's no more Yentl over now.
Fleek Pika, maybe?
Yeah.
Seems to be my go-to. But, yeah. Really excited about the new stuff we've got coming as well.
Yeah.
After this. We've written some bangers.
What does peak exactly translate to?
It's like a old-fashioned word for girl. Like quite like, imagine the 1800s.
Okay, cool. The last question I have is about inspirations, because I got sent a bit of a press release that you are inspired a bit by, you're influenced a bit by Charli XCX and Pink Panthers and Lily Allen. But I was thinking we could talk about like a non-musician that you can be influenced by. So when I like to do stand-up, I get very much inspired by an actress, a comedic actress from the 50s from Hollywood called Jane Mansfield.
Raise
your hands if you know who she is. But she was basically in the 50s, she was like Marilyn Monroe's biggest rival, basically.
Oh, wow.
But she attempted a music career for fun. She didn't really care too much about singing. She really loved music, but, you know. Yeah. But she went on a Europe tour when she didn't do acting and stuff. And I have been looking at clips and stuff because of how she moves on stage, and I just take that into account a bit when I do stand-up, like how I move and stuff. So that's how she inspires me. But I was wondering, is there a non-musician
that
you get inspired by, maybe by their stage presence or how they are in interviews or anything like that?
Immediately went to... Is it Audrey Hepburn.
Yes,
but she's a musician, isn't she?
She's an actress. She did sing as well, but
I'm thinking about there's this one woman, really Hollywood woman, who's so awkward in her interviews.
Audrey Hepburn.
Yes, love and adore. It's so real. It's so relatable. I think like if I ever become super famous, I'm gonna just sit back and I'm gonna be so introverted and just chill and observe and be so weird in all my interviews that she does, because it's so funny. I love it. I think that's so cool.
Yeah, I think also, weirdly enough, Florence Pugh. I think she's inspired me a lot, and like she became famous and she's just still been herself so much. And she's inspired me very much in my life. Like, I don't know, maybe on stage and stuff, but I think because she's so like, well, obviously she's the most stunning person I've ever seen in my life, but she's so like, I will still eat whatever I want to. My body is the way it is, and that's going to fluctuate. And like, I think for me, knowing that and that she stands strong in that is giving me a lot of strength if I feel insecure, I think. Like seeing women that are about us.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyone else?
I think we don't really have time absolutely, because we see Frida has been like staring at us a little bit. So this has been Artists Alive. Thank you so much for taking your time to listen to Little Me and Girl Group.
Thank you.
I just want to say thank you to Universal for supporting this episode. And the EP is linked in the description. So if it's so that you'd like to listen, it's there.
You definitely should.
Yes, and follow us on social media. There are links there. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a wonderful day, everybody listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.